On this week's show, John Lester takes us on a perilous journey full of Mayan mayhem as we explore the 8-bit depths of Sydney Hunter's Switch debut. Nintendo delivers a massive payload of news during its latest Direct and then goes on to announce some rubber exercise thing that completely blows our minds. It's too bad none of it really matters because Nintendo's grip on Japan finally comes to an end. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 115. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 115 for the week of September 9th, 2019, sponsored by MeltedPins.com. I'll tell you all about that later. I am super jazzed. I am a really, really excitable Steven Fontana. And with me, as always, each and every week, never fails, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Let me answer your question.
I don't know. Does it?
Oh, shit.
Oh, there you go.
Mine is seltzer. Sorry.
We're all just
buddies. Well, I'm glad you're here, Andy, and I am super jazzed to have John with us. John, thank you so much for joining us. Very excited.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We actually met John. It was actually by happenstance. It was not a booked appointment, if I remember correctly,
right.
Andy.
And we walked by. It was, gotta play the fuck out of that game.
We saw it. We were like, huh, that looks like something we played as children. And then the more we saw it, the more we were completely blown away by everything. And then we sat down. You happened to be there. We did a little video interview, which is on our YouTube channel, if anybody wants to see it. And, I mean, Sydney Hunter... won our game of the show. It was our favorite game of 2019 at PAX East 2019. So we were counting down the days that we can get you on the show when you were closer to release. It was driving us nuts, waiting. But our listeners, you out there, you have heard us talk about this show. I mean, this game, on this show. So you know our hype level on this, but. For those of you that are new to the Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, just like John is, this is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk about the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And of course, you can find all of our stuff on dualscreens.com. That's D-U-E-L screens.com. Please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcast if you listen on that device. It helps get the show in front of more eyeballs, and we would be greatly appreciative if you do that.
And your earballs.
Yes, and your earballs. You can also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, the demigod himself, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you so much, Alex. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so please head over to Patreon and consider backing us for as little as $1. And that $1 gets you VIP Discord access, where we talk to devs just like John. We talk to each other. We hype each other up. We tear each other down. It's a great place to hang out.
I love the second part of that.
Yeah, we really rip into each other. It's a really great community. We're really playful. We love each other. We have a great time in there. And when I say VIP, only members of the Patreon are invited to the Discord. So it's really only the hardest of the hardcore listeners are in there. That dollar actually gets you more than just the VIP Discord access. It also gets you one free episode every episode. I keep saying that. It's not free if you're paying a dollar. One bonus episode every month where you vote the topic that we discuss. So, and that's exclusive to Patreon as well. So we greatly appreciate all of your if this cat is nuts, Andy. One of the kittens is out of the bedroom because she was hungry, and she is absolutely crazy, just chasing things all around the place.
Get her out of there!
Get out! All right, before we get into the lead story, which is all about Sidney Hunter, which, my God, I cannot wait to get into. John, we're going to, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, which there was a Nintendo Direct, we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into any of that stuff, we're going to get into everybody's very favorite segment that I like to yell on the show. And that is the Nindies of the Week. Andy, it's time for the Nindies of the Week. What you been playing, bro?
So, Steven, a lot of great games came out recently. And I know you're like me, where I have a backlog that's essentially bigger than Bigfoot's dick at this point.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm playing a game that I beat 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing Final Fantasy VIII for the fourth time. But aside from that...
That ain't no Nindy.
Aside from that... I've been playing a game called Heave Ho.
Ooh, I've heard good things about this game.
Yeah.
Expound.
It's a four-player game where you have to not fall to your death, and you essentially have to swing from one player to the other, because you're all kind of connected together, and you're just, like, lobbing everyone across the screen, trying not to die.
It's like it uses like ragdoll physics and like the
such a fun party game.
Yeah, the body parts are mapped to different parts of the controller. Right? Is that
right? Like, yeah, and it's also published by our favorite people, Devolver Digital.
Devolver, love those guys. Stepping up again. Yeah. The craziness. Mm-hmm. So normally this is when I ask our guest if they've been playing any Nindies, but you have a Nindie coming out this week.
I assume
you're not playing any other games right now.
It's been crazy busy, so you probably assume correctly. I did download a game called Eagle Island.
Ooh,
oh, yes. Yep.
We had what's his name? Wow,
damn. Ryan? Nick.
Who was it? Nick.
Okay. We had Nick. Okay. Yeah, it's a good game. I like the unique like attack mechanic where you throw the owls. You know, so
chuck a bird here and there.
I'm not too far into it at this point, but I mean, it just looks beautiful and it's my style of game, so it's great.
Yeah, Andy was a big fan. I wrote a review of the game on dualscreens.com if you want to check that out. Listener, go ahead and do that. So my Nindie of the Week is a game that I really wasn't expecting much out of, but I wound up making our very first first play video of this game. Which is Wispy and the Lost Atlas. It is a simple 2D platformer action game. Very, very simple. I think there's only five levels. And that's based on percentage of completion went after beating three levels. It was at 60%. So I'm only assuming that it is only five levels. Super simple. It's kind of like it has the look of a Kirby game, an 8-bit Kirby game. And it kind of plays like you would expect a Mario to play in its enemy designs, its platforming mechanics, and you have a whip mechanic, believe it or not. Wispy with two E's and the Lost Atlas. So if you go to our YouTube channel, which is, you know, you can find it, or you can go to dualscreens.com, you can find it. It's the last video that we have up there. Very, very charming. It was made by one dude. I think Daniel something. I'm going to blank on this because I'm a bad host. I probably should have had this prepared. But it was actually provided to me from Blowfish Studios. They published the game. Yeah, I didn't put it in the show notes. So I don't have... It was Daniel something. Daniel Ramirez, I think. Daniel A. Ramirez. That sounds right. So it sounds like it was one dude that made it. It's very charming. It's a lot of fun. The boss battles are really cute. They're kind of like what you would expect from a platforming game. So if you're looking for something quick, something light, something to kind of cleanse your palate from the more big budget AAA stuff out there, this might be something that you'd be interested in. I mean, the levels are pretty short. You know, maybe 5-6 minutes a level. You're in and you're out. Boss battles, like I said. But I recommend it. It's fun.
So it's a short game, but kind of a short and sweet.
Yeah, short and sweet. Get in. I mean, it was clearly somebody who really wanted to make a video game, poured their heart and soul into this thing. The sprite work is simple, but it's beautiful. Like, the colors are bright. The animations are really good. you know, the opening cinematic is super simple. It really does remind me of just booting up, taking a chance on a Nintendo game and just seeing what happens and being pleasantly surprised. So
cool.
Check that out. All right. So that takes care of the Nindies of the week. So that's what we're playing now. I did it twice, Andy. I'm really jazzed today. I don't know, man. This week has got me.
We had a great pre-show.
We did have a great pre-show. We did.
We got beers. So I'm in the zone right now.
You're in the zone.
I'm in a good place.
It's a good place. All right. So that's what we're playing now. But what could we be playing this week? We have. There's just so many games, Andy.
City Hunter, done. Move on.
Moving along. All right, so real quickly, we're going to go down the list to tell you what's coming out this week on the Nintendo Switch, and this is via Nintendo.com. So we have Blasphemous, which looks absolutely terrifying.
Oh, yes.
Or Blasphemous. I don't know how you would pronounce
it. That's the one.
We have Andy's favorite game, Gun Gun Pixies.
Love it.
I'm just assuming you're shooting panties or clothing
off. Is it anime titties?
Yeah, it's probably. It's $50, so I can only assume you're shooting clothing off of anime.
Damn, that's some pricey anime titties.
Yeah. Throne Quest Deluxe, The Sinking City, which The Sinking City I've heard some really good things about as well, and that is also $50. Then this little game, never heard of it. It's called Sydney Hunter, the Curse of the Mayan. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
I heard it sucks. I heard it's terrible.
Heard it's just awful. The 10th Line Special Edition. The cover of that looks really intriguing to me. I'm going to open that up while that's loading. Ritual Sorcerer Angel Space Intervention. Huh. This is on 3DS, Andy, and it's 99 cents. Intervention.
Are they charging you by the letter?
Andy.
Of that title.
If this is an intervention on like a space invader, I need to open that. Okay. Super Dodgeball Beats is coming out this week on Switch.
That looks interesting.
Battle Supremacy Evolution. Got some buzzwords there. Star Wars Pinball coming on the 13th. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Exclusive tables on that apparently for the only on the Switch.
Interesting. I had no idea that was coming. So yeah.
Have you guys played any of the tables before, like on other platforms or?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you're a pinball fan, it's definitely worth checking out. Oh, what's it retailing for? Yeah, I don't know what they're.
Oh, that's beautiful. They're charging $30. It's actually beautiful,
but no, it's good. I mean, it's a really cool. It's cool. If you're a Star Wars fan, like pinball, I recommend checking out.
Andy, John, I regret to inform you that Space Intervention is literally a Space Invaders clone.
Oh, it is in 3D.
No. No.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Oh, shit.
Well. I mean, maybe the 3DS has a little 3D thing.
Silver lining.
Yeah.
I think we found our next big game idea. We'll make our own Space Intervention game.
There you go.
We should make... never mind. All right, moving along. What do we got here? I want to take a look. Okay, this is a card battle. Is it a card battle RPG? What is this? This is weird. This is intriguing, Andy. This the 10th Line special edition. You might want to check that out. That looks really intriguing. It looks like a tactical RPG with like some sort of card mechanic. Maybe. I don't know. That looks interesting.
Yeah, I might be into that.
I might have to write to them and be like, hey, we have the best Nintendo podcast, especially when it comes to Nindies. You should listen to us. Atomic Heist is coming this week as well. Chop is coming. Daemon X Machina is coming this week. That's on Friday as well. Looks way better than it did in the first demo, I'll tell you that. I have not played the demo, unfortunately. The new demo. Andy, did you at all?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay.
Is it better?
I've heard it's way better.
Okay.
Ellen. Yeah. Yeah, that's the game.
Like based on the talk show host?
I don't know. and Rest in Pieces is the final game coming out this week. So a nice hefty list, but one of those games on that list is coming out on Thursday, and that is Sydney Hunter and The Curse of the Mayan. Now, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to do the elevator pitch description of the game because John does it perfectly. But I will tell you this. Without you even knowing about this game, trust us. This is the NDS podcast seal of approval, that of all seal of approvals. Now, John, tell us about this beautiful game. You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, the best way to explain City Hunter would be it's our love letter to retro gaming, right? So it's like Mega Man, Castlevania, kind of gameplay, action platformer, with a little lot of Easter eggs, Zelda 2, Mario Brothers 2, DuckTales, just games that we grew up playing that we pay homage to. Definitely not a ripoff, but homage to. And we just wanted to create kind of unique story. And those who play, like, wow, this is kind of a cool, like, throwback to the old school. Granted, there's been a lot of, like, 8-bit platformers for the Switch and other platforms, but this one's a little bit different. This is, you know, our love letter. You can tell. So
the thing that stood out to me, really, like, when we were at PAX East, as you know, you were there. There were a ton of 8-bit, 16-bit sprite-based games. Yeah. One of the things that really stood out to me, first of all, was what I would think of as a perfect marriage of the two genres of the Metroidvania and the Mega Man boss battle sort of mechanic. Like, that's number one. That's the first thing that stood out to us. Like, and I remember Andy getting a good 4-inch Woody with that boss battle.
And a good day.
Yeah. And
which boss battle was that? Was that one of the gods?
It was the
first one that, like,
it was the god. You know.
Okay. The Jaguar god. Yeah.
The Jaguar. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there was that. And then for me, and this is probably the most important to me, is it felt like muscle memory. It felt like something I had done thousands, if not millions of times. It felt that comfortable. And the first question I want to give to you about this game is, how important was it to you to make an authentic 8-bit love letter video game?
Extremely. I mean, I don't know if you guys know much history about Collector Vision games. We've been making games for over 10 years. This is our first game on modern platforms, but we started off making ColecoVision games. I don't know if you know the Coleco.
Oh, I know.
Hence why we're called Collector Vision. It's a play on words with ColecoVision. So the ColecoVision was my very first system growing up as a kid. I have fond memories of it. A lot of great arcade ports. So we've made over 100 ColecoVision games. We're actually one of the only companies in the world that actually owns a ColecoVision cart mold, so we can make our own carts.
Oh my
god. We've made City Hunter for the ColecoVision, for example. It's a different game. It's called City Hunter in the Caverns of Death. So this is a series of City Hunters, but this is the first City Hunter on modern platforms. So we've made games for NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis. We just came out with City Hunter for the Sega Master System. Just came out. So we know the limitations of these systems, right? So when this project started 5 years ago, believe it or not, it was supposed to be an NES game. It was like, we love, like, Montezuma's Revenge and those style games, like, you know, Rick Dangerous, whatever. And we wanted to come up with a kind of a clone, kind of homage to that. And it just evolved and, like, got to the point where, like, okay, we just couldn't fit all this memory into an NES card. So that we decided to switch over to Unity and release on modern platforms. But having done that, it was a pain in the ass because we had to change the aspect ratio, right? Because the NES is 4x3 and 16x9 is what modern platforms are mainly used to. It would look weird playing 4x3, I think, on a TV today. You know, people are like, what is that? Because it'd be all the black walls, you know, on the side. So anyway, so that's kind of like, we have the experience with the modern games, if that makes sense, or the old school games, if that makes sense. So, you know, having grown up playing old school games, we wanted to create a game that kind of gears towards the retro audience, but those who can play now and maybe didn't play the retro games would still have fun playing as well.
Yeah, it honestly takes you by surprise when you find games that tickle that source memory for you. And it almost has a little bit of an imposter thing going on where you're like, you feel like you've done this before. Like, you feel like you know this character, you know this world, you know what's kind of happening, but then you kind of flip it all on its head by mixing these couple of genres here. So Tell us a little bit about the marriage of these genres. How, what were the challenges when you were trying to do something like that? Why did you choose to do that? Was it just, you know, oh, I love these games, let's make one that's both of them?
Yeah. Again, it would kind of evolve. The reason this project took a long time to create is because I think a lot of indie games, we should have done this, is it would come up with a story first, right?
Sure.
Where we kind of did it along the way and we're like, hey, let's add this, let's do this and that. And that kind of delayed things, to be honest.
Right.
This game, I don't know if you're aware, but you can actually play this game using the NES controller. So we programmed it in a way where you can actually use like the simple AB button so that you're playing on the NES.
Oh.
You know? And I don't think many indie games do that, to my recollection. Like, not even a messenger you can play on using an NES controller. We tried.
doesn't Nintendo like kind of not want any other games except for their NES Online to actually be able to use that controller?
They never said anything to us about it.
Interesting.
And yeah, and so it's on the, even on the eShop, even says it, like, you can put it compatible with the...
That's fantastic.
The only thing they came back, us, we called it something different, like, no, this is the actual technical term, it's called the NES controller, whatever, because we said something different, and they're like, no, this is what it's called. So, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't see why it wouldn't be, but is it compatible with the 8-bit DOE NES controller?
It would be.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I don't know if it has like a different input or something like that. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
That sounds like science stuff. I'm not good at that kind of thing.
Yeah. I haven't tried it with that, but I'm sure it would be. So
indeed. So Andy, you have gone a little bit more hands-on since PAX East on this video game.
Yeah.
What questions you got? I know you got some questions.
Well, like, first of all, I just want to say how it's, like you were saying, Steven, it feels like this game could have been on a Nintendo. It feels like a lost part of my childhood where it's a game that I missed out on years ago, and then here it is in full glory. And it's like, why didn't I play this game when I was a kid? I wasn't there. It wasn't available back then.
Right.
Now, you were saying how there was, you know, NES limitations and you had to move to Unity to kind of get this game running. Did you feel at any point, okay, now that we're kind of like uncaged now, can we give this more bells and whistles? Or you just say, you know what, this has to be an 8-bit title?
Well, yeah, I mean, color-wise, it probably wouldn't work on the NES, to be quite honest. And there's some, you probably notice, like, when you kill enemies, they, like, there's a particle blast that, you know, none of that would actually work on the NES. So there are some things that we've kind of beefed up the game, but for the most part, the music's all done in Famitracker, right? So, we try to stay as true as we could, but yeah, there are some things that we kind of extended a little bit.
And I think that's what sets it apart from a lot of indie games that use sprites and retro pixels, where you can tell that it's, you know, it has that aesthetic, but there's a lot of modern trappings to it. Like Messenger, you can tell that it still has like more modern gameplay and there's more than two buttons to play the game itself. But this is a straightforward, it's like A and B essentially, and your little item button.
Yeah.
It's like an old school game more or less.
So how we got it to work on the NES controller, I mean, there are more buttons. There's, you know, for example, the Y button, you can use your, you know, the items and whatnot. You can map your own buttons too in this game. So if you go to the option menu, you can change the button layout to how you prefer it. But what we did, so in order to use item, you can also hit up and attack at the same time, and that will use your item.
That's so Castlevania.
That's very Castlevania of you.
Which,
by the way, you had it mapped in the way that makes me angry and yell at my life, because it was, you had B and A, but it should be like X and B, because X is like where the B button is.
Right. That's how it actually, you're right. So normally it's B and Y, like Y is
right,
attack.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and I don't know why when we uploaded it, like that's how it actually plays, like on my dev kit, that's how it plays. Mm-hmm. But if you go into it, you can actually go to the map, like mapping, and go back, and it'll actually play normal for you.
Oh yeah, I did. The first thing I did, I was like, let me see what these buttons are. And I was it's like this Nintendo Online. I was like, why are these games have these crappy? I can't. When I'm trying to run, I'm jumping. It's like, no, stop it.
I mean, even the Nintendo Classic, or not the Classic, the Nintendo Online stuff, those games play with the weird button map.
Yeah, because they map it to actual B and A.
Right.
They're not in the same positions that they were back then.
Exactly. Right. It's so weird. It does.
Right. So John, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So you're working on this game for a long time, and then let's go back to 2017 where this tweet went out from you guys where you got official approval from Nintendo to actually be Switch developers.
Yeah.
What was that like for you guys?
Amazing. And it took a year for Nintendo to even get back to us. Like, we're in the dark for
a year.
It took a year. I remember reaching out to them and applying online. And I got an email saying, okay, thanks for your email submission, whatever, we'll get back to you. And nothing. And I tried tweeting them. I tried sending messages. And I finally got an email saying, congratulations, you got approved for the Switch. I'm like, holy shit. So that was super exciting. I mean, obviously, super stoked. And I think this game is a good fit for the platform.
And I guess relieved too at that point after a year goes by and you're wondering,
yeah,
we're still making this thing.
And they're like, when do you want it? You know, when is it planning on coming out? And that's a really hard question to answer when you're working on a game because, you know, there's always things that could come up that delays, which in this case it did, development. But I'm glad it's finally coming out.
Is that like an industry norm? Like in your little indie, like even other indie gamers that you know or speak to, is it usually that long of a wait for approval, or is it just you think
it is hard? I mean, they're even in the process, and not to talk down to Nintendo,
of course,
I never, even to the process, we never talked to a live person.
Oh, wow!
So it's all done through email, and even the email that you send out, it's all someone different who gets back to you. So there's not that relationship you can form with anyone, which is unfortunate. But again, I'm very thankful to Nintendo for being on the platform. So if someone's from Nintendo's listening, I appreciate you guys. But no, I mean, it is that is a challenge because you don't form that relationship. I'm sure if we're to the point where we're like Yacht Club Games or someone, sure we can get phone calls back. But we're not at that point.
Well, when this game hits and you can afford to buy your first and second yachts, they'll come a knocking. Let me tell you, Nintendo will come a knocking.
I'm really honestly very humble that you guys think the game's great and that's awesome. I'm so thankful, but I'm really nervous about this game. I don't know. It's like, because we are all independent, we all have full-time jobs. There's only five of us work on this game, right? So we've put our sweat, blood, and tears into this project, and it's really cool to see people love it, and that's awesome. But we don't have the marketing dollars to we don't have the digital revolver behind us to push it, you know what I'm saying? So it's I'm reaching out to press and no one's heard of this game. So it's very nerve wracking because a lot of people don't know about it. So I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk about it.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. I will shout about this friggin' game from the mountaintops and personally sell copies of this game for you because I believe in it that much. I'm telling you, I really do. I think, and you know what? It goes to show that, you know, not every great product has this machine behind it that could get it in front of the eyes. You know what I mean? What we love about this show and why we do this show, because we realized going to way smaller events than PAX East, but going to events and meeting teams of devs that are one, two people, and that they could have a fantastic game, right? Mm-hmm. They design this game and then two major publishers, right? Come out with a game very similar. They each come out with a game similar. Now all of a sudden they're the third game, and they don't have a voice. They have nowhere to tell people about their games.
Right.
They have their demo or whatever on itch.io or whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
They have all that stuff. We want to be the place where those developers could come on and they can talk one on one with and they could feel in an intimate setting where they don't have to bite their tongue. Because they don't work, they're not part of big publishers, most of them.
Right, some of them are.
Right. Some of them have, Devolver behind them or whatever. But for the most part, they're, people like you or people who make a game just by themselves in their spare bedroom or their parents' basement. You know, we've had all sorts of different walks of life that make these games. And that's what we love to do here in Dual Screens is highlight games like Sydney Hunter, because I'm telling you, you should be up there. This game should be in the conversations with a Shovel Knight, with a Messenger, with a Moonlighter, with a Bastion. Wow. It should be up there with these games.
Thank you.
I strongly believe that.
Thank you.
Andy.
A lot. It really does. Yeah.
All right, now I'm gonna get off my knees now. Okay, now you're gonna get the now you're gonna get the hardball questions.
Did you find any polyps up there while you were? And also like a game like this, because a lot of people will see retro sprites and say, "Oh, it's just an old school game." You know, I can. It's like a dime a dozen nowadays, and it's not gonna go away. Kind of retro graphics making a comeback, but I feel this game, more importantly, is like it's a lesson to the games we grew up with. It's not just borrowing the look. It's the feel of it. It's the detail. It's what games were back then. It's what made the industry thrive. Like, it's a great game because it really exemplifies what the Nintendo era did so well with games like Castlevania and Mega Man.
That's what we were shooting for when we played this game. So I appreciate it. I'm glad you see that. So thank you. Absolutely.
I mean, we're not old fogies. I mean, we're not, you know, we're kind of getting there. I'm pushing 40.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're around the same age. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, it was interesting when, you know, at PAX East, like the industry is kind of going towards or is in the middle of this retro renaissance, what I like to call it. And I just did an interview on the website with James Deegan from Megacat Studios, which you know those guys. They know you.
Yeah, they're very similar to what we do. They do the old school.
We love James. You know, he spoke very highly of you. To let you know, we go back and forth with them quite often. But we're kind of in the middle of this retro renaissance where it seems like every kid that grew up with a Nintendo or a Super Nintendo is now of the age where they could start making those games. And it's kind of funny to me that you see those 30-something-year-olds, 40-something-year-olds going back to that time instead of learning the newer technologies or whatever. But you also have the perfect marriage of the new sensibilities with the old school gaming. Like, if I was making a Castlevania game, the first fucking thing I would not do is map up an action to throw an item. That's like the first thing I would get rid of. And
Yes, you would.
Yeah, I would. But you come in here and yes, that's an option, you know,
it's
whatever.
Blast me otherwise.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you come in and, you know, or and other devs like you, and you take what we remember and you make the improvements that you would have wanted as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And
but yeah, that yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, when we went from the NES to the Super Nintendo, we had four more buttons.
Right.
Like, that was mind-blowing to me as a kid. Like, oh my god, do you imagine the shit you can do? And then the Nintendo 64 came out and I was like, "Oh my god, there's 412 buttons." And there's this little wiggly stick, and like it just kept snowballing from there. So, talk a little bit about the marriage of the old school and new school sensibilities when you were designing Sidney Hunter. I want to hear like the nitty gritty here.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in the game that you'll see, and Andy, I don't know if you spotted any that you've played or seen. Okay, what have you spotted?
Just curious. So far, being of course, there's the Konami pause sound effect, which is amazing. There's a Zelda 2 reference, the falling into the pit.
The falling, the lava. Yeah.
Those are the two they really stuck out so far to me.
Okay. Do you see the bomb? When you lay a bomb?
Oh, which one's that one?
So if you get a bomb and you lay a bomb, it says it's a sprite from Mario 2. But
holy
in Mario
shit, yes.
In Mario 2 it says bomb, we change it to boom. We change it slightly. So
bomb effect.
It has the bomb effect. Yeah, the bomb effect where it blows up. It says it's kind of a comic, you know. Boom.
Right.
From Mario 2.
That's clever. I didn't catch that.
There's a lot
that's
of Easter
really
eggs.
Good.
There's an Easter egg in the game that we have. You know, when you get gems, there's a little point value of each gem you get. So there's a point in the game. I won't spoil where it's at, but I'll tell you that it's in the game somewhere. when you get 7 in a row, there's 7 gems in a row. And when you get the point values are 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9 in a row.
That's fantastic.
Jenny, I got your number.
Yeah, yeah. So little subtle things that we've added in the game like that. There's actually a hidden room, and I'm curious if you guys will ever find it, because it's actually a glitch we kept in the game intentionally, because the glitch, it's the only way, it's a timing thing, you can get in this room, and there's a hidden character in this room, but also has our initials, the developers and people who worked on this game in that room, but it's really hard to get to.
Yeah, so, I love shit like that.
Yeah.
Games don't do that anymore.
It's true.
Yeah.
They stop being like clever in that way.
Right.
Like in this age where you can data mine a game to hell when it first comes out, it's hard to sneak in little fun things like secrets that you can't really, that you wouldn't know about unless you actually play the game and explore every single nook and cranny of every pixel.
Doesn't Rockstar kind of do that in their games? Like they like to put a lot of weird Easter eggs, don't they? And Ubisoft likes to put, oh no, you know what Naughty Dog does? They like to put little Easter eggs like that harken back to like Crash Bandicoot and like Uncharted games and stuff like that. And wasn't there, there was also a Last of Us Easter egg in Uncharted 4 or something like that, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. It was the same bar I saw recently. That the bar that Joel goes to is also in Uncharted 4.
Hmm. Well, there was also a newspaper that you pick up in Uncharted 4 that has the news of an outbreak due to like a fungus. It was like a fungal outbreak. Did you notice that? Like he picks up if you pick up a newspaper and you look at the cover, or it's like a page of it ripped out and like pegged on a wall somewhere. I forget exactly where it is, but they mention a fungal outbreak somewhere. But anyway, that's not a fun Easter egg, but that's Easter egg nonetheless.
What's interesting when we were come up with a name for this, because we actually came up with a name before we came up with a story, to be honest. So the story kind of hit how to fit the name. So it was kind of, which is not a very smart thing to do if you're doing game design, by the way, because you're like, okay, we got to figure out how does this curse fall into the story, right? It ended up working out, fortunately, but it was a clone of Montezuma's Revenge. And that's how we got, it was actually initially called Mayan's Revenge. That's the initial title of this title. And so we changed it. No, let's call it, it's too similar to Montezuma's Revenge. Let's call it Curse of the Mayans. That's what was the initial title of the game was.
Mm.
And we realized that they're actually technically Mayans is not technically correct because, and then, so we changed it like to Curse the Mayan, which is funny because we come to find out later that that's not even technically correct because Mayan is a language, not a group of people. It's actually Maya, right?
Interesting.
So I think most people don't really catch that. They say Mayan all the time, but it's actually, it's Maya. Like when you're talking about the Maya culture, you're talking about the Maya.
Or the calendar.
Maya calendar. It's actually, you're supposed to say Maya calendar, not Mayan calendar, which is interesting.
So you're like the Dave Chappelle of game developers. Dave Chappelle will write a punchline first and put it into a bowl.
Right.
And then he'll work a joke from that at some point.
Right. So we make fun of ourselves in the game because we call ourselves out in the game. Like, who would call the game Curse of the Mayan when that's not, So, like, at the very beginning of the game, you may notice, like, if you play it, like, we kind of poke fun of ourselves because at that point it was too late to change the game to Curse of the Maya, which technically should be called Curse of the Maya. So once we found out that, we're like, oh shit, what do? We'll just leave it and make fun of ourselves and call ourselves out.
That would drive me crazy. Like, oh shit.
I think most people say Mayan anyway. People don't.
Oh yeah.
But, oh yeah. Yeah. Mayan's a language, not a people.
I mean, we just learned that today on the podcast. So.
Right. Right.
Indeed.
Yeah. But we did a lot of research on the Mayan culture. There I get Maya culture. I even fucked up there. We did a lot of research on the Maya and just like the gods, and a lot of the sprites that you see in the game are actually from actual Maya architecture, and the gods that you fight are actually Maya gods that they believed in. The whole story is based on Maya mythology, all that good stuff. So,
what was the most interesting Maya fact you came across in your research?
Well, I mean, they had like just, they believed in all these gods, which are interesting, right? Like Colkin, he's the feathered serpent god. He's kind of their devil, right? He's the main guy. So if you go to down in Mexico, there's that Chichen Itza, where you can actually see the shadow during the equinox. It actually shows a shadow of a serpent going down the steps, So they were very big into that. There's a time, probably the most interesting fact to learn was their calendar. They had 365 days a year, just like our calendar. Which is pretty mind-blowing because this was, a long, long time ago before. So they knew, they traced the sun, they knew all that, right? So they knew how many times the sun, they figured that they knew the Earth was round, which is crazy, right? I mean, they're very smart. But the last 5 days of the calendar, because it was like each month was 20 days, so it was kind of an odd number of days. So they had like these five last days of the calendar, Mayan calendar. I don't mean to give you a lecture of Maya history.
I'm very fascinated by this stuff.
So the last 5 days of the year are called what they call the Wehab. Okay, so it's to the Maya back in the day, they believe that these last 5 days of the year, they're not really in a calendar year, but they're still part of the year. It's very unlucky. And they believe that the gods can basically, cause shit and raise harm and all that. And that's kind of where this game takes place is when Sydney Hunter goes and you know, to this temple he comes during the day of Wahab. So there's a lot of unrest, and so that's kind of where the story comes into play.
I love how people without Google knew that the earth wasn't flat.
Right.
And you have flat earthers walking around today.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, no, they were amazing culture. I'm fascinated by the Maya. And it's really cool. I got an email from someone, like a Mexican government official, who actually reached out to us. He's like, "Hey, I saw your guys' preview of the game. We're excited. Let us know if Mexico can help promote your game," which is pretty cool.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
The whole country.
Yeah, the whole country
is going to promote your game for you.
Sponsored by Mexico, you know? So,
that's fantastic.
No, but it's you know, it's cool. So I just learned a lot about the my culture and, you know, some of the characters you meet in the game, not to do any spoilers, but there's a character you meet later in the game, which is actually a really important part of Maya, you know, folklore. So it's, yeah, it kind of all fits.
Awesome. Andy, we need to move the show along.
I know. Yeah. All right. All day long.
So,
no, it's all good. I got time.
Sydney Hunter, The Curse of the Mayan is coming out this Thursday on Nintendo Switch on the eShop. So I cannot recommend it enough. At the end of the show, we'll tell people where they can follow you and all that fun stuff. But This is exciting because we had a surprise Nintendo Direct this week. It was like, "Hey, it's coming in 2 days." And we're like, "Oh, crap, 2 days? What time?" "Oh, I'll be on a train? Great, thanks, Nintendo." Doing that every fucking time.
It's either 9 a.m. for us or 6 p.m.
Right. They did one recently at 5 p.m. I'm like, "No, I'm literally leaving the house." I think it was the E3 one. I was like, "No, don't do that." I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so Nintendo Direct, here it is. We did the thing. We had a bunch of shit announced here. Andy, do you want me to just go down the list and then we'll just pick a couple highlights to talk about?
Yeah, sure. All right. Go for it. A lot of
stuff. So we opened up with Overwatch, to literally no one's surprise.
Right. It was leaked and there was some merch apparently.
Yeah,
so
there was some merch that went up and then was abruptly taken down. So that's coming October 15th. Interesting to see. And that's the complete full on whatever edition. And I think they said it was $40. So I haven't been able to find.
Is that confirmed?
I can't confirm it. I heard on various other outlets that it was confirmed, but I have not verified it with my own eyes from Nintendo or Blizzard. So we have that. We got more details on Luigi's Mansion 3, which is of course coming on Halloween. There's a 4v4 mode, which I'm sure is going to run like garbage. Especially online. I'm just sure that's going to be a disaster. But it's 4 Luigi's versus 4 Gooigi's.
And it looks like fun.
Yeah. It looks like fun. Hang on. Got a cough coming. Excuse me. No cough button here on 10 little screens.
You gotta add that.
Yeah, right.
Make it a Patreon goal.
Then we got a sneaky release of Super Kirby Clash. And it is a free-to-start mobile game on the Switch. Andy, Kirby's tell me your thoughts.
Oh, I love it for the wrong reasons, and I hate it for the right reasons. It's a Kirby game, sort of. It's Kirby Light.
Sure.
It's you're playing as one of four Kirby, the sword power, hammer power, a mage, which I don't think that's a thing, because you can heal and stuff. That was never... I mean, there was a Kirby wizard, and there's another one, I forget. Because I'm basically the hammer guy or the sword, because you're doing the most damage. And you accept quests to fight giant Kirby enemies. And you get crystals and shards, and you can then turn that into the shop for better weapons.
Right.
But, you know, there's really gross microtransaction shit in there. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, you want to buy more gem apples to buy that new sword? Go to the eShop and get a bundle for like $10.
Is there energy?
Yes, it's called Vigor.
Fuck them.
And if you burn your Vigor, you gotta wait till the time replenishes.
Fuck them. I'm sorry. I love Nintendo, but stop this shit.
I can really see them going down a really dirty path of adding rolls, which is Kirby powers, for like $5. $5 for the Kung Fu power.
You know, the Rogue.
For Stone power. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see that, and it's... I don't know. Kirby is just better than this. He really does.
John, you have any thoughts?
About the new Kirby game?
Yeah, the free Kirby game. Or any of the three that we've mentioned.
I haven't seen much on it, to be honest. My head's just been crazy busy this week. I haven't seen much, to be honest, on it. So, to say one thing or another.
Well, speaking of the retro renaissance, we have a Trials of Mana remake coming out. That is coming out next year, April 24th, 2020. Return of the Obra Dinn, a fantastic indie game, is making its release this fall on the Nintendo Switch. If you don't know what that is, just give it a Google. Don't watch any video. Just look at, like, just go in blind. Just go in blind with it, because it's a really cool video game. We got the official announcement of Town, which is now called Little Town Hero, and they showed a little bit more about this game, and it's kind of interesting, Andy.
Yeah, it's not a Pokemon game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so you're this little hero dude, and monsters attack a town, and depending on where they're attacking, like, as far as, this is what I understand, you go to that area and you fight with the townspeople as kind of like your party, but it's only the townspeople that are in that vicinity of the monster. So, like, if they're attacking the shop or whatever, you go there and the shopkeeper comes out, joins your party, and then, like, maybe, like, a passerby or whatever. Like, that's what it looked like to me. But it looks like a turn-based RPG with an abilities wheel, and, like, the abilities change based on the party that you're with. So, I don't know. It looks interesting, but I am still very much on the fence until I see a little bit more of a deep dive. But this is coming
this year.
I know. It's coming out next month. It's coming out October 16th.
I thought it was more like a 2020 game, because it was like, oh, we have Pokemon this year, but here's our next title we're also working on. But this comes out before Pokemon, so I'm wondering how polished is it, how how much depth it has.
You know what I honestly think, Andy, and I don't know, maybe John, you would know from like development cycles. I have a feeling this was in development before the Switch Pokemon. Like,
that could be the case.
I think they were working on this for a while, and then when Nintendo said, hey, we want you to do a Pokemon game, they said, well, we have to release this first. This is a project we've been working on for a long time. We love this project. We want this to come out first. And I think that's why. And they probably are, I feel like it was probably supposed to come out next year, but they wanted it to come out before the next Pokemon, so I guess, I don't know. But it's still coming out so close to
Pokemon. It could be like Game Freak B Team that did this while they're working in tandem with Sword and Shield for a
Switch. I don't know. If you listen to the internet, Sword and Shield is made by the B-Team.
Oof. Okay.
All right, we got Animal Crossing New Horizons details. This is coming out March 20th still. They didn't change that, so that's good to know.
It looks good.
It does look good. I don't know how I feel about the whole camping thing. I kind of like houses.
Really? Oh, okay.
Like, the pocket camp thing kind of ruined it for me.
Hmm.
Are you an Animal Crossing guy, John?
To be honest with you, no.
Yeah, but neither am I. Yeah, but I was hoping this would be the one. I mean, I'm gonna try it, but I don't know. Just something seems a little bit not Animal Crossing to me. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts, Andy?
I mean, listen, I'm not a huge fan of the franchise, but it looks good. The 10 thing it did throw me for a loop when I first saw it, but I don't know. This is a huge IP for Nintendo, so they really can't fuck it up.
Right.
After we got that horrible mobile game from them.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I have faith. It's been a long time since we got a proper Animal Crossing game, so I feel confident it won't be a complete flop.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be a flop. It just seems like... Like, wasn't the cool thing about Animal Crossing, like, you have this house that you decorate? Like, I feel like decorating tent...
That's, like, the core thing.
I mean, obviously, you're going to upgrade. You're going to go from a tent, maybe get an RV at some point, you know, shit like that. A little shack, a little log cabin. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too much about it.
Ski lodge at some point. You never know. It's going to go down.
Things got a little scary here, Andy, because...
Oh, this is my favorite thing of the whole freaking Direct. Deadly Premonition
Yes.
2.
Yeah.
What? Oh my god.
Like, what? A blessing in disguise.
We got the first game. It really was. We got the first game, a port, which is one of the cheesiest, most, the hammiest dialogue delivery ever. It's like Hustle the Dead level bad.
Hmm.
Love
dialogue. and delivery.
Is it as bad as a Jill sandwich or Jill the master of lockpicking?
Oh, there's a thing about a sandwich in this game which you have to see it for yourself. You have to see it. So we got a port already out now on Switch, and a part two, which came out of nowhere.
Yep.
I mean, this fills the void of games like Silent Hill, like a classic survival horror type throwback game. And it's back, baby. No, it's back, Steven. Doom 64. Holy shit.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original N64 one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's coming out November 22nd and out now.
Star Wars Jedi Knight, too.
Yeah. We're conveniently skipping over Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition, which is out now as well. And they actually, believe it or not, they actually gave me a code to that. So I'm actually playing that right now. And
sounds like a first look.
Divinity Original Sin 2 is a good game. It is fucking deep. It is deep.
Did you play it for Switch?
Yeah, I played it.
How's it like look?
It plays and looks beautiful. It plays like you like Divinity Original Sin 2. Like there may be some concessions using a controller. I've never played it with a mouse and keyboard. I imagine clicking with a mouse would be a little bit faster and a little bit easier, but it's a slow paced combat game. It is a menu. You're going in the menus, you're plotting out your moves kind of thing. XCOM-ish type combat kind of thing like that. So
no touchscreen?
I did not play handheld. I played docked.
Maybe it has it. You never know.
I'll check it out. That's part of the whole curious. The whole deal. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast is coming on September 24th. So that's right around the corner. We had the Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection, which is actually really exciting because it's got Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag and Assassin's Creed Rogue. And Black Flag is number one, absolutely my favorite Assassin's Creed game. Now, full disclosure, I did not play... not Origin. Wait, is it Origins? Is that the new one that's out now? The latest one?
No, Origins was the one in Egypt. This one is crap. I should know.
It's another one with an O.
It's in Odyssey. Greece. Odyssey. There it is.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I hear, is very, very good. But Black Flag was my absolute favorite. And Rogue, I didn't play because that was the one that came out on PS3 when Syndicate came out. I think it was Syndicate, came out on PS4. It was like when they released two, one on each console. So I'm excited to maybe I'll jump into that. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, they showed more of that, and that's coming out on October 15th. And then Dauntless, coming this fall or winter, might be winter.
Sometime this year.
Yeah, which is exciting. That's the Monster Hunter Lite free-to-play game that I've been trying to get Andy to play with me on PS4. A lot of fun.
Borderlands 3 now, bro.
I know, it's coming.
There's a lot of games to play.
It's coming. All right, and then some Smash Bros. Ultimate news. We have Banjo-Kazooie was released that day, so that's out now. Cool. We got some new Mii Fighter costumes, one of them being, I don't know, people keep saying it's a meme.
We got Proto-Man.
Right.
We got Zero.
Uh-huh.
There was a third one, but I think the one that everyone was like shitting their pants for was Sans from Undertale.
Sans. Yeah, that was the one.
Because I think that was like the meme. Like he was memed into the game, essentially.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Imagine
how many characters are there now for Smash Ultimate? I mean, there's got to be a shit ton now at this point.
Characters themselves, there's 70.
70, yeah.
Could you imagine being Waluigi right now where you're still just an assist trophy in this game?
Wow.
And some indie game upstart character gets to be a Mii Fighter skin.
Why not Waluigi?
I gotta say, the model for Sans looks really good. Plus, there's a remix of one of my favorite tracks in Undertale, Megalovania, which sounds incredible.
Doesn't Shovel Knight make an appearance? He's not a playable character, but doesn't he make
a trophy? He's a trophy.
Yeah.
So then we got a new fighter announcement. We got in probably the absolute best opening video or like teaser video or whatever the hell you want to call it, introduction video. Awesome. It was all in the 16-bit art style. It was the envelope going through and all these different characters missing the envelope, diving after it, not getting it. But then finally it gets into the hands of Terry Bogard from the King of Fighters, right? King of Fighters? SNK King of Fighters? Am I getting that right?
Yes, you are. I think you mean Fatal Fury.
Fatal Fury. That's what I mean. I'm sorry. King of Fighters is King of Fighters is SNK though, right?
I get them confused too. Don't worry about it.
I like
the preview video they did for it though, with the old SNK.
It was beautiful.
Super cool. Well done. Yeah, it was awesome.
There's nothing that really dates you when you see reaction on the internet of people saying, "Who the fuck is Terry Bogard?"
Right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
I used to always think he was a pizza delivery boy. Is that weird?
I mean, he's dressed like one.
I mean, that's just what I assumed, that he was like a pizza delivery boy that kicked people in the mouth.
Logo on his hat?
Yeah.
Essentially delivering pizzas.
Better ingredients, better roundhouse kicks, Papa John's. they also, so that's four characters. There's still a fifth one yet to be released. And then the biggest news out of this is that they are going to do an additional fighter pack with five more fighters coming. And the little scrolling text on the bottom said sold separately. It's not part of this current fighter pack. So
Sydney Hunter is a fifth fighter. Just spoiler alert.
Oh, shit.
No. Breaking news.
That would be epic, though. Even if
he would fit in well. He would fit in very well. Yeah. I like his nose.
Fighter, an echo fighter for Simon Belmont.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, he can. All right. So.
That was a lot.
That's a lot of news. That's the news.
That was a lot. In 40 minutes, it jammed a lot of crap into that direct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we have two gems that one I believe is real news. And so I'm gonna start with that one. Nintendo filed a patent for their bendable Joy-Con controllers. So they have a hinge built in so that they bend back at like a 45 degree angle. I don't know if you saw this, John, but I'm gonna put it in the chat, the link in the chat.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because it's really interesting, because it looks like a way more comfortable way to play the game. But the biggest thing that I'm excited about is, I wonder, based on the sketch, the Switch actual model looks a little different to me. It looks like it has less of a bezel. I'm wondering if this could be a Switch Pro Joy-Con type situation.
I think it's the artist is having some wishful thinking on their part.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying like the tablet itself is Switch Pro, but I'm saying like, why would you redesign the Joy-Con if not for a complete overhaul of the Switch, you know?
Are you guys getting the Switch Lite?
What's that?
Are you guys planning on getting the Switch Lite when it comes out?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I was thinking about it, but because you can't just trade the saves back and forth, or like pick up your game on one and then transfer the save over the cloud, download it, whatever, and just move. I primarily play handheld online anyway, but when I do capture stuff, I'm going to want to be able to take the games on the go. So that's why I haven't. But if you haven't seen this patent, Polygon has an article about it. That's the best one that I've seen, because it has all the images right there on one thing that you can scroll through. But it looks cool. And they have a little design of it going in the little grip as well. So it just looks like a more comfortable way to kind of hold the controller. I don't know. It looks interesting. And now I'm going to call it. We're getting into the hype zone. Holy shit, Andy. What in God's name did Nintendo do? They drop a teaser trailer showing a new product. A new sweaty product. A new weird as Nintendo gets product. Andy, take it away.
Listen, Steven, I'm not sure if you're like me, but I have a Wii Fit board that's getting really lonely in my closet.
I'm sure you do.
And this would be the best thing to give it some company. We have this rubber ring contraption that will allow you to utilize your Switch in the only way it was meant to be utilized.
True.
As a makeshift workout device. Because who wants to play games and you get a full body workout? Nintendo.
The most important thing about this video is that they're teasing an announcement of this product on the 12th. So we're going to know more about this very soon, folks. So keep your ears to the ground and just keep yourselves tuned in to Nintendo Dual Screens and DualScreens.com, because this is going to be life-changing. Do you see, look at this video and tell me that those people cheering on the person doing the workout are not absolutely thrilled with their lives.
Listen, guys, I just feel bad for John right now because this just took
I'm watching. No, I'm watching the video. Yeah, this is taking the hype of Sydney Hunter away. This is.
I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
Sydney Hunter killer.
Screw that game.
Look, first of all, watch the video and look how confused the first person is that opens it. They're like stretching it. They're like, what the hell is this thing?
All over Madrid. They're like all over the world.
Yeah, it's like Madrid, San Francisco, Japan.
Sweat together.
Do you remember the fit for the Wii?
Yeah,
layer of hell.
People are calling this the Switch Fit.
Switch Fit.
Interesting.
I think I had a fit when I saw this.
Like, but who works out with people cheering you on like that? I don't get it. Like, this is so unrealistic.
I desperately need that.
People that are in pretty much good shape as it is.
This is going to probably kill me.
What is that workout device that you shake like a big dildo that goes back and forth? You know what I'm talking about? That weight.
Shake weight.
That kind of reminds me of this, dude.
Awkward. So look, just resistance and position.
I just want to jerk off my Switch.
It's about time you return the favor.
You gotta get that high score somehow.
The Switch pitch.
All right, before we get into...
It's crazy. It's funny.
Wait, what is this?
That's going to be...
Oh, that wasn't even the hype zone, Andy. I didn't even see that you put a real hype zone in.
I did. You didn't read the doc.
Oh, I did, but I forgot about it. Oh, my God. So we actually
have... You said you wanted for real news.
I thought the Switch Fit was hype. That's not even the hypiest story.
No to me.
I thought you were talking about the Joy-Con.
No, you said... No, you said... You said you wanted this for real news.
I meant the Joy-Con.
I said rubber ring thing.
I wasn't paying attention to that. I thought you were the Joy-Con. Oh my God.
Like you.
The hype zone's even better.
Yeah.
Oh my God, John.
This is the real hype zone. That was some fake ass shit.
That was we double hyped you. We triple hyped you.
That was a fake out.
Holy shit! All right, well, get us into the real hype zone, please,
guys. In case you're wondering, during the direct, during the Smash portion, particularly, Sakurai mentioned playing Banjo and Kazooie on your Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And when he breathed those words, Xbox became a trend on Twitter in Japan. And I think that means game over for Sony, for Nintendo. That's it. I can see now.
This is happening.
Microsoft doubling their monthly sales of 5 units in Japan to 10.
It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
The Xbox One X last week, higher. Last month, month, week,
last year,
I don't know, recently sold 36.
Wow.
So
staggering numbers.
They might break triple digits in one of these weeks.
Might break 100. You never know.
Yeah. It is bonkers over there right now with Xbox trending in Japan. All because of one dude, you know?
It is a spark that lights the flame to Xbox's victory in Japan.
Indeed. Oh my God, I just realized I have a meeting in the morning. Oh my God. All right. Before we get into the Retro Game Club, which is everybody's favorite segment, unless, of course, Andy, you want to skip it, but I don't know if you're prepared. But whatever. It's your turn for a game. So we'll do it.
I could have said no, but when you said a little snarky remark, I was like, fuck, you were doing it.
Perfect. Before we get into that, let's tell you about our sponsor. This week's sponsor is Melted Pins. That's right, Melted Pins. Melted Pins is a website by a single artist that sells unique and original tattoo art-inspired pins, buttons, and more. They have canvas bags, prints, mugs, all sorts of fun stuff. The artist is Kelsey Lynn. She has done art for us on our streams, which is twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. She's going to continue to do art for us for the podcast. She's currently working on a new t-shirt design for us. She's a very, very good artist. Very, very unique. So if you go and check out those awesome designs and buy your, you could buy your own, go to meltedpins.com and use the checkout code NDSMelted. That's NDSMelted. And you get 10% off your purchase, your whole purchase, 10% off. It's huge. It's huge. Huge, Andy. You could follow Melted Pins on all social media at Melted Pins. See that? Branding, people. Branding. That is meltedpins.com, promo code NDSMelted for, or NDSMelted for 10% off your order. Now, Andy, it's time to get into the Retro Game Club, bro.
I'm so excited for this.
Here's how this works, John. You and me, we're a tag team. We're a team, bro. We're going to try and guess the retro game that Andy is going to tell us. It is a not Nintendo published, but or it could be, but a retro game that appeared on a Nintendo console from the GameCube and back.
GameCube and back. Got it.
Okay. And that includes handheld devices. Now, portables or whatever you call
them. Not published by Nintendo necessarily.
It doesn't have to be. No, but it's a game that's, you know, played on Nintendo. Now, Andy's going to give us a clue. And then there'll be, we could deliberate and try and see if we could guess the game. We get three total guesses. So we could deliberate with each other, but when we lock in an answer, if it's wrong, we move on to the next clue and we have only two guesses left after that. If we want to ask a yes or no question, like maybe we're on the scent and we want to clarify something, we would be like, you know what, let's see if it was this. We could ask a yes or no question, but we forfeit one of our guesses. The quicker we get it, the more points I get. All right, I'm down 42 to 25. All right, it's a fucking bloodbath, John. It's a fucking.
Do we get hints like genre or no?
So the hints get more and more obvious. So he's going to give us a clue. The first clue is worth 10 points. The second clue is worth 9 points, and so on and so forth until I can't get any points, which I've done twice this season. All right, Andy, hit us up with our first clue.
Here we go. This game is a single-player and multiplayer action platform run-and-gun.
Whoa, that's a lot of genres.
A lot of stuff.
So say that one more time. It's action platform run-and-gun.
Single or multiplayer action platforming run-and-gun game. So we're thinking like a Contra.
Yeah, I was going to say Contra, but that's probably too obvious.
It might be a little too obvious, yes.
But it's multiplayer.
It is single or multiplayer. It could be like Super C, it could be something a little bit more or Contra 4,
or it could be Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders. Interesting.
Oh, that's a great game.
Sunset Riders.
That is a great game.
Interesting.
Good stuff, Jack. Good stuff.
So
I like where your head's at.
So why would he specifically say single player or multiplayer? Do you think multiplayer might
It's gotta be. I'm thinking Konami. I mean, it's gotta be like a Contra or something. But again, that's probably the too obvious choice. No.
I don't know if we've had Contra on the show before. All right, let's get another clue, Andy.
This game was released exclusively.
Oh.
For the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Super Nintendo. Okay, so
there have been no ports. No virtual console re-releases.
Wow.
It was only ever on the Super Nintendo.
Interesting.
Yes. It lived and died on the SNES.
I wonder if
Super
that's
a... Super C come out for the Genesis? No. No,
Super
think
C was an NES game. Game. Yeah, that was
No, I'm sorry. What was the... Contra 3.
Contra 3.
Contra 3. Contra 3. Contra 3 had to have been in a collection or something. Yeah, it was just in a collection, right?
It was for the Switch.
Yeah,
for and the other Switch. Consoles too. Yeah,
multiple. Yeah. Metal Slug kind of hits, but they were all over the place. Unless there was only one of this Metal Slug.
Dude, how about Super Turrican? Know that.
Ooh,
I'm not familiar with this.
I really love where John's head is right now.
Just like anywhere? It's anywhere. He's way more useful than me.
Super Turrican 2. There's two of them. Were there two of them?
This is all you. You got that knowledge. I'm not that.
You never played Super Turrican?
No, I have.
It's a great game.
Huh. Muy interesante.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Should we get another clue? For 8 points? I think we should.
Okay.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
This game was supposed to be published by Nintendo as a first-party exclusive. But, ultimately, those duties fell on Konami.
Oh, shnikes.
See, I told you beginning, it's got to be Konami.
Right, so, place, so we know Konami. Let's think. What did they do?
I mean, Contra, obviously.
Yeah, well, done that. I hope you're not that. Well, you might throw me a softball. It's been a hell of a season for me.
Yeah, you know, ow. If I'm that unprepared, I might throw you a softball.
True. I just hit enter. Okay. So I feel like you would know the Konami games way better than I would.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a ton. that was the fighting games back in the day, right? I mean, that's
yeah. Konami. Somebody's yelling at their screen right now.
Is that the theme went Konami?
Yum.
By men in Konami.
Konami. I kind of want to ask it if it had a Konami code.
Oh, sure. If you want to ask that question, you can totally do that if you want.
I don't know if that would help because a lot of games had Konami codes.
I know, but but not all of their games did.
But if the answer is no, it could weed some out.
Right.
That's true.
Is that a yes or no question?
No. Let's not get stupid.
Okay. I'm just clarifying. You mentioned it. Let's not get stupid.
One of the things I want to ask, what I want to clarify is if this was a popular game, like a well-received or popular game, because
is that how we
some of the lesser known games are hard for me to like narrow down
right,
to.
Right, but you know this segment, you know how we do things here.
Yeah.
It's meant to fuck the other one up.
I know.
Fuck them over. But yeah, I generally pick games that are well received and have a following of sorts and are not total garbage. Well, I did do Bubsy that one time, but that's because I hated you. And Yo Noid, because yeah. I was manager for some reason that week.
Like, it wouldn't be like Konami did a lot of licensed games in specifically the Super Nintendo, I think. I'm pretty sure it was them. It was like them or LJN. They all made the licensed games. And Acclaim, I guess, made some of them too.
Right.
So, like, I'm trying my. I don't think Nintendo would want to publish a licensed game, so it's got to be one of their original IP.
Well, they did Sunset Riders, but I think that came out for the Genesis as well, so that would eliminate that.
Because
this was exclusive only on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was only ever
on Super Nintendo. Based on arcade, I guess. That would narrow down.
Is that a yes or no question?
Oh, I'll leave it to Steven to answer. I don't take his question.
You're taking too long, bros. I'm going to the next clue.
Wait. No. I have a yes or no question.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Is it part of a series?
Oh, I have to verify this. I think the answer is no. Let me double check. No, it's not. It's a one-off. The one and done game.
One and done.
I had one game on the SNES. It was very well received. Got critical acclaim. A lot of great scores here, I'm seeing, on the old wiki. All right, going to the next clue.
Yes, give us our next clue.
The team that made this game was comprised almost entirely of the same folks who developed Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh!
This is LucasArts. No?
Correct.
Yes, yeah. LucasArts, yes.
You have a great teammate. So if you lose, that would be a real shame for John, because he's pulling the weight here. He knew Konami, he's saying LucasArts.
I knew it was LucasArts.
Is it Grim Fandango?
Is it Star Wars? Could be.
Is it Day of the Tentacle?
Could be Super Star Wars.
I love Day of the Tentacle.
That's a great game.
That was the only PC
I'm just,
there.
I'm just naming like,
yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff back in the day.
Wait, Super Star Wars? No, that would be as part of a series, I guess. Well, that would be based on a license part of a series. I don't know.
Well, you don't know if it's a licensed game, do you?
I don't, fucker. I don't fucking know, okay?
You could ask the question.
I don't want... No, I don't want to, because then I only have one guess.
You're true.
Is it... is it, you said Run and Gun?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I might know where it is.
What are you thinking, John? You can speak freely. Say it out loud.
Metal Warriors?
We could talk. We could talk.
Metal Warriors?
Is
that a guess? John, is that a guess?
That's my guess.
It is Metal Warriors.
Get out of here. That's awesome. Nice. I don't know anything about Metal Warriors.
I told you, you had a really good teammate. He did you right.
Oh.
Kind of obscure. Yeah, it's obscure. Yeah, it didn't come out.
Wait a minute. I've seen this cover before.
I'm sure you have. And it was only released here in the States. Nowhere else.
Weird. Yeah.
I didn't know that LucasArts had done that game, though, but I just knew Konami had done it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Interesting. Oh, so they handed off publishing duties because they were balls deep in 3D shit.
Right.
The 64, I guess, came out in 95.
It was in 95. So it's like right on the cusp of like N64 era for Nintendo.
Mm.
Is this game good?
Oh, this game is great.
It's a good game, yeah.
This is an excellent fucking game.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
That looks good.
Look at you.
What was that, 7 points?
No, it's six.
No. 10, 9, 8, 7. You get four clues, 10, 9, didn't you?
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You get four 7 clues. Points. Put them on the board. All right, I'm only 10
points,
away.
At least get points.
I'm only 10 away now. I'm only a perfect week away. I gotta hold Andy to zero, and then... Wow.
Listen, you're not going to have John in your corner every single week.
No,
you're
I'm fucked. Not. Who do you have in your corner next week? Well, we'll get into that at the end of the show, I guess, which we're here. So
we made it. The show's over, guys.
Let's do the housekeeping outro. Here it goes. Nintendo Dual Screens is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horse, a PlayStation podcast, Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, a user-generated spoiler podcast all about the movies, television shows, and video games you love. You can support Proven Gamer by going to provengamer.com. You can follow us on social media. We are at NDS Podcast. It's on Twitter and Instagram. I haven't used the Instagram in quite a while. Sorry about that. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you could go join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NDS. Podcast. Now, John, where can everybody find you?
My home address is... No, I'm just joking. ColectorVision Games, right? So we're on ColectorVision.com. ColectorVision on both Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I also have a YouTube channel, for those who are interested. It's called Gamester 81. I review old school gaming consoles and all that good stuff. So I hope to find you there. And also, same thing, Gamester 81 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So that's where I'm at.
Awesome. And again, folks, Sidney Hunter and the Curse of the Mayan coming out this Thursday on the Nintendo Switch platform. John, thank you so much for joining us, man. It was an absolute pleasure having you.
It's been awesome. I'm sorry for keeping you guys up late. I know the time. Appreciate the flexibility.
Well worth it.
I do want to send you guys
right now, though.
I've got a couple of things I want to send you guys. So I've got some copies of Sidney Hunter and the Caverns of Death for the Super Nintendo. You guys have Super Nintendo still?
I do. Yes, I have two. I just found my box full of consoles.
So PM me a good mailing address for you guys. I'll send you just a couple copies.
Amazing.
Awesome.
This is actually the sequel to Curse of the Mayan, just so you know.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then what else? Oh, I want to give you a code, Steven. I also want to give you an extra code you can give away.
Look at that. All right. Because John is so awesome, we are going to circumvent the fact that we dipped under our $200 Patreon goal. So you fuckers weren't supposed to get anything this week, but we're going to do it anyway because we love you. We love you, listeners, and John's been so gracious. So here's how you win, folks. This is how you do it. All you got to do is retweet and like this post on Twitter. We're gonna tweet this episode out Monday afternoon. That is the 9th, and all you have to do is find that and retweet it by the time we record the next episode, which is probably going to be, Andy, Thursday, Friday? I don't know.
I think it's Thursday.
Thursday. So like and retweet this by Thursday. All right, jerks. And we love you. And speaking of Patreon, remember, you can support us at patreon.com/NDS podcast. And if you do, you get to listen to, if you support us at, I think it's the $10 tier, you get to listen to our pre and or post show every single week. It goes into your ears every week. It's like an hour's worth of content every week. Extra stuff. It's what you get because we love you. And speaking of people we love Zazu Pitts of Sourno Productions for our theme song, 60-Bit Attack. We like Matt Murray of Game Stuff, and he's a contributing person to our website. We love you very much for our overlays on Twitch. Dan Colonna, Dinosaur Machines, Hit Button Gamings, and Dan O'Mac on Twitch. Thank you so much for our Nintendo Dual Screens podcast logo. And thank you, Andrew Douglas. You can follow him at Angimoto. He does like all of our shit. The cartoon versions of us, all that fun stuff. He's awesome. That's going to do it. Andy, before we go,
yes.
What do you want to tell the kids? Who's on next week?
Please look forward to John's review of Metal Warriors on his YouTube channel coming next week.
There you go.
31.
Yeah.
On YouTube. I think, talking about content, Stephen, I think we're doing 2 episodes next week. So we have Creature in the Well developer coming on the show.
Yes.
I think it'll be a much of a deep dive, like full blown into that game. It's fucking incredible. And we're getting on the developer for One Finger Death Punch. Duh.
I love that game.
A lot of fun stuff. That was in the last, with the Indie World Showcase.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's coming out in October for the Switch, so.
I've been playing that on Steam. I did a couple of streams of that game. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah, great fun.
All right, folks, that's it. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 115 for the week of September 9th, 2019. One of my favorite shows we've ever done. Hands down. John, thank you again so much for joining us. We wish you nothing but luck.
Rock. Thank you.
We hope Sydney Hunter just fucking nails it. Just go crazy. Go ham. Good luck on everything. Andy, thank you for joining me. John, thank you for joining me. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, please be excellent to each other.
Cheers.